Welcome to National MI's Educational Sales Podcast Series, hosted by mortgage sales consultants Pat Sherlock and Bobby Welch. This podcast is brought to you by National MI University. We are committed to delivering quality education. Now let's get started.
Hi, everyone. This is Pat Sherlock.
Hey, it's Bobby Welch.
Pat, hey, Bobby.
How are you?
This is good. And this is a great topic. And I think so timely. We're going to talk today about social media and prospecting. Certainly every day I get in my inbox some new webinar on social media and prospecting. So I think it's a timely topic. But I also think there's so many misconceptions about what social media really, what its role is within prospecting. So why don't we talk about, just from your perspective, kind of in the general ballpark, how should social media and what role does it play in prospecting?
Yeah, amazing topic. Well, let's back up a little bit. Let's talk about the role that it's not supposed to fill.
Right. That's a good
because,
one.
Yeah, because I think sometimes people confuse marketing and sales.
Mm-hmm.
And really, social media is more in the marketing bucket, more of the, you know, because prospecting, if you're looking at a sales funnel,
mm-hmm.
Prospecting is very late in the marketing process when you really map it out. And the difference between the two, the way I clarify it is you've got to look at what purpose is the activity serving. I think that's the easiest way to mm-hmm. figure out what mode am I in. And when I'm looking at marketing, and social media fits firmly in this category, the role that it should play is that it should be creating a brand around you, specifically as the financial expert, the mortgage expert in your market or inside your niche. And you want to do that because that goes to goal number two. So once you've established, hey, I'm an expert in my field, I'm an expert in my niche, goal number two is when that person does either A, reach out to you, or most likely you end up reaching out to them somehow, then because you've achieved that status online and through social media, the time that they need to make the decision to do business with you is as short as possible so that it actually speeds up the sales process. So really, that's the 1-2 punch. You want to create leads, you want to be farming and getting the word out so that you're recognizable. But then number two, once that lead is created, you want to be using social media in a way that it just, you know, it's like I call Pat up and you have to do and say very little before I know that I'm going to be doing a transaction with you.
So if I understand what you're saying, and I think it sounds to me like you're right on with it, is that social media's role is creating an awareness that the originator is an authority and an expert. And from that, the sales process would continue. So when you're calling it a marketing function, I think people get confused and think that if they don't get a loan off of, you know, one email being sent, then it hasn't worked. But really, the role is to be more of an awareness builder that this individual is an authority and is an expert, and therefore the selling sequence can start once that's been established. Does that sound fair?
Yep, that's exactly fair. In fact, that was a very great way to say it. And the big thing to keep in mind too is it's not the sales process. That's the
right.
pass off. Sales, we're going for a close. In sales,
right.
we're like, okay, let's do a quick check of the fit. And then should we do business together? And you're closing it. Now, sometimes a close happens naturally on social media, but it's the exception, not the rule. And that's what becomes very dangerous. I mean, I've certainly had people call me up and say, hey, you're my guy. And that's, you know, the first things that you hear. That's really, really great. Huge mistake if you actually think that that's the way social media works all the time. So that's the thing that we want to make sure people know that it's not, is social media should be driving appointments.
And
in the appointment, you sell.
Yeah, the appointment starts the selling process. Well,
exactly.
From your viewpoint, and certainly you've seen this over the years, and certainly what I see from a consulting standpoint, that originators really are, not all of them, obviously the really good originators tap into social media, but mostly most originators really are not active with recognizing that building scale and awareness is something that is really crucial today, because you just can't live off of 2 referral sources.
No, you can't. You can't. And, you know, social media is also not a good place to try and sell, even if you can do it. You know, it's not like the old print magazine, right? We're long past. You can't put up, hey, free appraisal on your social media feed and expect that to drive in a ton of loans. Because discounting and those type of things, again, while they'll work sometimes, it's not the best use of social media. If you ever do run something like that and you get a positive response, you need to treat that as almost like a false positive, not that you've stumbled upon the eureka. Social media is about serving people and paying it forward and teaching them the things that they need to know about their pending transactions so that when it becomes time for them to actually act, that they're going to go to who has made them comfortable with the fact that they're about to be a homeowner, or they're about to buy their first second home, or they're about to trade up, you know, whatever that is. And really that expert status and paying it forward go hand in hand.
So Bobby, why don't we talk a little bit about the types of things, and I can't agree any more with you. It's really what I would call an educational transfer that's going on with social media. And that educational transfer is what generates you as an expert and a value provider. So why don't we talk about, I guess, some more of the types of things that are the activities that you should be doing with social media when you are trying to expand the referral base. And for those listening on the call today, it's the same principle of trying to expand your recruiting base. So it's the same idea, is that what type of activities that you think that originators should be active with on a social media standpoint to generate more referrals?
Yep. There's two buckets of activities. Well, actually, I guess there would be three if you carve off the actual sales pitch. And what I mean by buckets is that there's three, call it activity zones, that you want to consider putting yourself in and then doing those zones in a certain ratio. So zone number one, you and I were just talking about, that's the educational piece. Mm-hmm. So you've got to understand, who's my audience? What do they need? And by the way, it's not just about, you know, telling people, you know, here's down payment requirements and here's this, you know, because people are not always, you know, the average homeowner is actually buying a new home about every 5 to 7 years on average, if you look at current stats. So whenever I post about, hey, here's the new down payment requirements that, you know, just adjusted on some program inside your sphere of influence, that only really appeals to a very finite number of people. Doesn't mean you don't put that up there. It means that you've got to look at the entire range of who your audience is and what they might need. So other ideas that you want to mix in there would be things like, you know, maybe how to dispute your property taxes, maybe which repairs or upgrades to your house create the most value and which ones don't, how to manage your FICO score and how to get it higher, how buying a car affects your FICO score. You want to look at all the life events and the things going on that would keep you relevant as the financial expert for a homeowner across the spectrum of where they might find themselves, so that they're interacting with you the entire time in between the 5 to 7 year gap, that the information that you have, that at least some of it is relevant and that they're putting it out there. So that's kind of bucket number one, just you know, educating your audience and giving them things relevant to their needs, things of high value, you know, and it can be information, it can be checklists, it can be contacts, tools, referrals to other partners you find valuable, any of those type of things. And you want to be doing that about 75% of the time. Like, you know, 3 out of 4 of your posts, you want to be doing that type of activity with. And that's where you kind of earn that debit, where you're paying it forward. The next piece that you want to be doing is some things that are just fun. A little bit of lighthearted stuff. Show your human side, but be tasteful, you know, and remember that, you know, like, for example, political commentary, that could show your human side, but that actually could push away just as many customers as it attracts. But for me, for example, if you watch me on my social media, I'm a tech nerd. Like, I love gadgets and I love the transhumanist movement and all the cool things they're doing in science right now. And so I occasionally, not a ton, because I don't want to confuse people, you know, what I really do for a living, but I occasionally, like, you know, if I see a cool new drone, I'll post the drone and I'll talk about what it is, but it gives them a small insight as to who I am as a person and the interests that I have, and it humanizes. So then you do that, you know, with, you know, maybe about half of the remaining 25% that you got left. And then the last bucket is you sell. And that's where you just go hardcore. You know, so that's where you offer a free annual mortgage analysis. That's where you, you know, tell people about the first-time homebuyer program that you've got down at the library on Friday. And you actually push something that is unashamedly meant to drive them into an appointment or make the phone ring.
Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about, and I think you really covered great, the power of content's really what you're talking about. Let's mm-hmm. dive a little bit deeper and talk about, because I'm sure the listeners are thinking, well, how am I supposed to do this content? So if you could talk about original content versus what's called curated content from the standpoint of reposting other articles that come from well-established experts. So what percentage needs to be original and what percentage can you curate?
That is a pretty hot debated topic. And I will tell you that, you know, there's some people who believe that you should only post your own content, but I don't agree with that. And I've tested out myself. I've noticed that there is a transfer of status. If I repost something from someone that I respect and it's high quality, and that's really the biggest piece is based on what you know about your audience and their needs and the things that they want, how well does that content fit it? And if you get the fit right, then when you repost it, sure, the other expert is getting some recognition, but that recognition, at least in my personal, you know, doing this for years now, it rubs off equally. Literally, the status rubs off right onto you. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a big believer in it. And I would say that to get started, if all you ever did was post somebody else's content, you'd be fine. It's a great place to start. It's better than doing nothing. And then if you can get to a point where, you know, I like mine to be at least, you know, kind of 50-50. Mm-hmm. But I have to admit that I've gotten tons of phone calls when my mix was much lower. So the key is be a conduit, look for things of value, don't really obsess. But here's the one warning that I will give everybody listening though. Always give full credit. Don't try to hide where the curated content comes from.
I think that's a really good point. But I thought maybe we could even dive even further when we look at original content. And like you, I've done a blog for very many years, and it's really kind of my core marketing method. And so when you look at writing a blog, I would say from a practical standpoint that I devote somewhere between 2 to 3 hours in a given week. And so for the originators that say, well, gee, I don't have the time to give 2 to 3 hours, I think they're missing out on what you can do with that content. So once you have it developed, all right, and it might have taken you that original 3 to 4 hours or whatever it takes you, part of it is getting ideas from, you know, that are topical and then obviously putting your spin to them. But the other side to it is, and the point that I'd want to really kind of emphasize is that that content that you have written, or if you have a writer that will write it for you, is content that can be turned into a podcast, can be turned into a video, it can be turned into other vehicles. And so when you really think about it, putting down what you're seeing currently in a week, which becomes how you determine the topic, then once the content creation, it really has a fixed cost because the more people that follow you, in other words, if you're writing it currently for 10 people, before you know it, you'll have 100 people if in fact it's good content. So any thoughts on that?
In the beginning, it's going to take you longer.
Right.
And you need to prepare yourself for that, especially if you're doing something like writing and you're not used to writing. It takes you longer to come up with ideas. It takes you longer to actually write the ideas. But you are dead on when you talk about, you know, just fast forward even, you know, 120 days down the road. That's going to naturally shorten. And you can do some really great stuff in 2 to 3 hours. I mean, great stuff. But, you know, there's also a shift in taste that has happened in the last couple of years, too. Video is the hottest thing, especially video on social media. The more polished a video is on social media, the fewer interactions, likes, and shares that it tends to get, it doesn't mean you want to look like, you know, unprofessional on the video, but you want to look great. But the fact that you're shooting it on your iPhone or using a selfie stick, that can actually work for you in the current environment. And short form tips are outperforming long form articles and things nowadays. And again, that's just because of the shift of social media. We're consuming everything out of the feed rather than our email box. And, you know, you can create a 2-minute video at an event that you're hosting and then get that out there and boost it on social media in less than 10 minutes. And that could be your post for the week. And I see loan officers out there, especially doing that type of very quick on the fly capturing of the things that they're involved with and where they're at and the closing they just had with, you know, and then passing off the new key and all those type of things that help keep them top of mind using social media as a platform. And it doesn't even take them 2 to 3 hours.
No question. And the thing I think most people kind of get, I think, really taken back is that they think, well, where can I come up with these topics? Trust me that I've done it for almost 9 years now. And every week, just from your regular conversations, there will be a topic that will come to mind as, wow, this is something that I think is interesting that people should know about. So selecting the topic is really through your conversations, and your conversations, yeah. You're doing that every day. And I think that's probably the harder part. What would be something that would be the topic? And then writing kind of, again, it doesn't need to be long and drawn out. You're talking about somewhere around, you know, 500 words, which would be... Oh, yeah. You know, 3 or 4 paragraphs is what you're talking about. And you will be surprised. I mean, I was never a writer, but I certainly became one because it's a way for you to market yourself. And it's a very effective way, especially if you are sharing valuable information. Well, Bobby, we're getting to the end. And so time has flew on this one for sure. Any comments that, you know, takeaways that we'd want to mention for our listeners today?
Yeah, I think to recap a couple already made and then maybe throw in one last one is that just remember the difference between marketing and sales and know that social media should be about positioning and helping you create appointments and creating some leverage so that those appointments lead to a sale faster. It doesn't go social media to a sale. Social media, appointment, sale. And that will have you go a long way. And then the last one, and I think you've done a very good, you know, what made me think of this is thinking about you and your blog through the years, you've done a good job doing this. Your content should not be about you.
Right.
Your posts, the majority of your posts and the topics that you cover and the value that you offer, you need to do a good job getting inside the head of your ideal audience, the real estate agents, the financial planners that you want as referral partners, and then the borrowers and your past clients. What can you help them with today with some type of post? And have the post be about them and their wants and needs. And you'll never run out of topics. You'll hit a home run with your goal of creating leads and creating that expert status. And it'll just be natural. It's just very natural flow.
Well, I think that was a great summary. And I guess the last thought that I would like to make, I think we're so lucky to live in this age because social media, it has such a far-reaching compounding impact that for any originator who hasn't really done it, I will tell you that it needs to be part of your toolbox for sure, especially today. So
well,
I want to thank everybody for listening today and certainly listen to our next podcast.
Thanks for listening. If you have a topic to suggest, please tell your National MI account manager, and you may soon see it as part of our sales podcast series.